Sunday morning, 6/12/22, the Prophet's Corner Uncut. You made me promises, promises. That's the title. You made me promises, promises.
That's the title.
Yeah. You know how we are. We get upset about things and we start getting in the flesh and we start hollering and carrying on and, Lord, you said this and you said that. Well, the honest truth is today that the Lord puts you in places for you to change them, not to gripe about them and get fed up and finally leave them. That's not God's plan, never has been His plan. We've thought, well, it's all up to God. When is God going to do something about this? When is He going to change something? Well, who did He give the earth to? Men. But we get to where we just don't like stuff, and so we decide, well, I believe God's telling me I need to leave. But God's saying anything, but He's saying, no, I put you here to change it. Change it? You're looking at the Lord, you made me promises, promises. You know, when we take our land, what's in the land? Giants. No one today in this world, especially that are Christians, can gripe about any institution, any place they go, or anything, because it's your fault that it's in the state it's in. It's my fault for the state that it's in. People would rather just boycott and move on and have our little conglomerates that are just all Christian. But you know what? That's not what God said do. He didn't say form your little groups. That's the problem. He said go infiltrate the whole earth for the kingdom. Is it the truth? Absolutely and totally the truth? We can be singing, you made me promises, promises, as God saying, I gave you the land. What's the problem? He said, you're the problem. I just don't want to be here anymore. They don't treat me right. They don't pay me right. They don't do nothing right. Then you change it to the way you want it. It's people that believe in the bailout and the rescue mission that sit back and wait and do nothing. They're just waiting for God to bail them out and rescue them. Well, I'm telling you, they're in for a rude awakening. There is no rescue ship coming. You are the rescue ship. You got Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the rescue ship. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what it is. Like it or not, but you know what? Sometimes the Lord has to bring you to this place that you put up with and put up with and bawled and squalled and had your fits and squirmed out of every situation He's put you in instead of changing it. Till one day we finally get it and say, ah, oh, okay, I get it. I get it. All right. I'm building a spiritual house, as I spoke to you before, but will say it to you again. I've had to reprogram you from the doctrines of men and retrain you in my ways. It's like Daniel, son. I watched those two the last couple of Sundays. I watched the first one. And here he is, he's having to wash the car, wax on, wax off. He's having to sand the floor. He's having to paint the fence. Paint the house. No, now do it this way. Now do it this way. Up, down. Breathe. What was he doing? He was training him for karate. He was training him to be on the offense. Karate for defense only is what he said, but it was so you didn't have to fight. But all the little things that he had him do, he thought, he's just taking advantage of me. He's just put me in this horrible place and getting me to paint his house for him and put the varnish on his fence for him and wash his old dirty cars. But when push came to shove and he'd had all he could stand, and he threw his big fit out there when he'd already agreed, okay, I'm the teacher, you're the student. Teacher say, student do, no questions asked. And the first rat out of the box, he starts questioning what is his methods and what he's doing. Haven't we done the same thing with God? We've questioned his methods. Why'd you bring me here? I was happy where I was at. Why'd you bring me here to this place? Yeah. God has had to put us in difficult situations to see how we would respond because he's training us to change things. What do you think this kingdom's going to be about? Is he going to drop us on us and everything's going to be great and wonderful? No. There'll be billions of people on the planet that are clueless. They're going to have to be taught. I have had to reprogram you from the doctrines of men and retrain you in my ways. All that is not after the Spirit will not stand the test. When the time of accounting comes, and that is not by the Spirit, will be burned up. See, the works of men will be burned up. There's not going to be anything standing that's not of God after this is over. There's been some stuff coming out, and I'm trying to think who exactly said these things. There was some interview with Nicholas Vaniaman with this Israel something, Perez or something like that. I didn't listen to it, but from what I've heard from it, he was talking about those that live their life for God when this solar flare happens and the pineal gland opens and all this garbage they talk about, that those who do not know God are just going to be gone. They're going to be gone, just gone. And if you've had the vaccination, but you're a child of God, you'll make it. You know, these kind of things are being said. Well, that's what the Lord has said to me. What's not of God is going to burn up. It's going to burn up, right? However it's said or whatever, that really is kind of based in Scripture. If you built on what God has put in you to build, it'll stand. If you haven't, it's going to just not be nothing. It'll all burn up. All right. 1 Corinthians 3. That's what training is about, to get us out of our fleshly ways and doing things our way, the way we've done it our whole life and failed our whole life. Why would we continue to do them if we have failed our whole life doing them our way? This is 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So God's saying here to us, we are a spiritual house. He's building a spiritual house, and that house is you. It's not a house with brick and mortar. I'm raising up those who will follow my spirit and execute my plans. Men, Christians, are looking for something in the natural, for this is how they gauge things. They wouldn't know the supernatural if it bit them on the nose. They know not the ways of the Spirit, but gauge everything by what they see. This is not the way I do things. I build in the Spirit first, and eventually it springs forth speedily in the natural world. This is how faith works. You well know this. I am a faith God. This is the way it is. Seed, time, and harvest. Sometimes decades pass with little or no manifestation in the natural, but one day it breaks through. See, men can come and build their brick and mortar, but God is the one that's building, the real temple. Anyone that has done anything pertaining to the kingdom of God has gone through this process. Joseph, Moses, David, Paul, Jesus, they followed my spirit and did my plans. All the hard part is behind the scenes, in the unseen realm, the breaking of ground, the laying down of doctrine, the molding of character before anything is ever seen in the natural realm. Those that submit to my plans and my ways go through this process. Sand the floor, wash the car, paint the fence. Many have gone before you and have felt the same way that you do. My Gideons, my special ops, those that when they do it will be Holy Ghost, it will be through Holy Ghost power, not all talk and no power. They are a dime a dozen, but you are my chosen vessels, jewels in my crown. All that is not of me is coming down, and I'm building back my church. No more carnal and fleshly works that appear holy and are not. My gems must come to the end of themselves so that I can fill them and they can be poured out for my glory. I'm going to look at a few scriptures here. Acts chapter 7. Verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. When he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. In seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst kill the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at the saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord at a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, and saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Let's see one more. He brought them out after that. He had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Even in the movie, you know, Ten Commandments, the mother of Moses, the Egyptian mother, wouldn't you best be served on the throne? See, man's way. Wouldn't you best serve your people by being the ruler? God said no. He was going to bring his people out with an outstretched arm and bring them through the sea and bring about the destruction of Egypt. All right, that's Exodus 1 or 3. It's not in the grandeur of men. It's not in the ways of men. It's in the ways of God. He has a plan. Now, a lot of people have been mad at the generals because they're executing the plan as they see fit. Yesterday I heard someone write a comment. Well, maybe the reason that the generals are not changing the plan because that plan is God's. I thought, well said. That plan is God's. God's plan is perfection. We don't change that plan. Not if we want to prosper anyway. All right, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he fed the flock in the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Let me just say something right quick, interject to you. I believe one of our new spiritual mapping projects is Fox. We need to take that station for the kingdom. Lock, stock, and barrel. It needs to be a new target, a priority. See, I can't sit. And I've been abused by Fox for many years and not knowing what to do about it. And the Lord said, I put you there to change things. Yeah? Put you there to change things. Don't cry. Don't get frustrated. Don't throw fits. Change it. Put your people in. That's God's people in. See, that's the problem. Nobody wants to take the initiative to take to call it in the way it's supposed to be. How do you think you're going to get rid of the ites? You're going to take them out. That's how you're going to get rid of them, by the Spirit. We don't go in there and kill them physically. That'll be between God and them. We have to speak what we want. We have to say what we want. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, Here am I. Now, you know, at 40, he was full of himself, mighty in word and deed, man, prince of Egypt. Why didn't you use me then, Lord? Now I'm all broken down. I can't even speak. Ba-da-da-da. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. Well, he saw it 40 years ago too, right? And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now at the every fold, this cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children, people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto him, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. This will be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God in this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, then they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt not thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto the land flowing with milk and honey. Even then, where he was taking them, they're going to have to take out the giants. God wasn't going to just do it for them. That's how squirrely people are. God's just going to do it all. I'm just going to sit back in front of my TV, and God's going to do it all. Well, it's a nice, sounds nice, doesn't it? But it ain't going to happen. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come now in the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt. And he shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders. This is about God getting the glory. It's not about some man. You can see that here. Which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptian. It shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my name, and they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. We got the word too. The rod's a word. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and he took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. Behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It came to pass as they would, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, then they shall believe the voice of the latter sign. It shall come to pass that they will not believe all these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. He gave them the whole stinking plan right there, everything. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. In other words, I stutter. How am I supposed to go speak before him? And I stutter. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seen or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and his mouth, and will teach you what you are to say. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. He shall be, even he shall be, to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. Thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Yeah. I do not, and I will not, follow the plans of man. I do not, and I will not, operate in their systems. I have a plan. I have a way. All I have said to you will happen just like I promised, in my time and in my way, like a diamond in the rough. It isn't very pretty to look at, but after it has been tumbled over and over, the real beauty of the diamond comes through. You are my diamonds.